better get your arms chopping in the 850. So everybody knows that we bleed green and then go.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Champions Way Sports. It's really our first live show. Kind of hadn't done this in a while. But hope everybody had a good New Year's, good Christmas, got everything they wanted. On tonight's show, we're going to talk about not really much the defensive back coach search, but more about Trayshawn Ward and some other just random topics. But first, I want to introduce my two new co-hosts, actually, to the and welcome them to the Champion Sports Network family, and that's Patrick Polo, he's one down here, and then Matt Bryce, he's right over. Matt, if you would give the people watching kind of a rundown of your fandom of Florida State and other stuff you're doing, like the other projects.
All right, I live in Jacksonville, born in Pensacola, Florida. Pensacola Beach sign is not where I live, unfortunately. It's a reminder of where I grew up. But, yeah, I was a Florida State fan since probably 5, 6 years old. My favorite memory definitely is the 99 championship game. I remember my mom let me stay up late that night to do homework and watch the game. And we listened to Deckerhoff on the radio call and all that stuff. I went to Florida State for 2 years, from 2014 to 2016, and graduated there and kept going down I-10 all the way to Jacksonville, where I got a job and where I live here now, and just loving it. I went to 5 games this season, so it was a good time. Went to the bowl game as well. So,
all right. Well, Patrick, I mean, why don't you let everybody that's watching kind of know about you?
Yep. So, Patrick Polo, live in Warner Robins, Georgia now. Retired military, placed me here. I've been a diehard Noles since the early 90s. You know, I will say I was watching an FSU Miami game and I was like, wow, who's this Florida State team? And that's how I became a Florida State fan. After I retired from the Air Force, I decided I was going to fulfill that dream of graduating from Florida State. So I went and got my MBA, graduated in 2020 through the whole pandemic. And as you can see, it's behind my head this side. And then, you know, my team helmet here ready to go. And up above my head is one of the spears. So I am through and through a Knoll. Love to talk about the Noles, football, basketball, baseball, which a quick update, the girls are beating Clemson right now, end of the third quarter. So looks promising, up by 17.
No, I mean, Clemson ain't a slouch this year, especially on the court. But I mean, when you got the freshman phenom.
Can't say no much about women's basketball, but.
But all you need to know is Latson. That's it. I mean, she is a freshman that is lighting.
I know they're like
the court. So, I mean, she's like, I think
I'll check 8. The box score and stuff. And
yeah, I mean, she's won, like, she's about to tie the all time record for the ACC freshman rookie, whatever awards of the week in consecutive weeks.
Every week, this week.
Yeah. So, but guys, like I said, you know, we're going to kind of skirt off I really hit on the DB search because really Mike Norvell is going to, I trust him what he's going to do. I mean, the guy can, but really the big one was, you know, and majority of the fan base, I think all three of us can kind of say that is, you know, we lost kind of probably one of our most loved players this year when Trayshawn Ward decided to opt into the transfer portal. Really, I mean, what a greater story, you know, in college football, you know, walk on to getting a little bit of playing time to star running back before his injury against NC State. What y'all's kind of outlook or thoughts on Trayshawn, like, transferring and why y'all think he transferred? Whichever one of y'all.
I'll go ahead and jump on. It was sad to see him go. I mean, he feel good story, especially through the craziness that we had over the past few years, that he stuck with the program, and it would have been awesome to see him finish out as a Knoll, to see the respect that not only Norvell, but Coach Storms and Coach Atkins all gave him on Twitter during his announcement. You know, he's going to go to a good place. He's going to do good things. And like you said, he was on fire, and he even came in and helped us in that Oklahoma part to do that, rip off that one run. So it was good to have the eight ball out there. He's going to be missed.
Yeah.
But the running back room is kind of crowded. I think he kind of saw a little bit of writing on the wall. He's going to go make a really good name for himself in a non-crowded backfield.
Yeah, I mean, I can only second that. I mean, what you guys said, that he was a guy that stuck with the program, like you said, for through thick and thin. But, I mean, I think it came down to a business decision for him. I think he didn't want to leave, but that backfield, Trey Benson, Tola Fili has moments. I mean, he's not lighting it up, but they got some guys behind him as well. And I think he was featured in that ball game a lot extra, a lot more than Benson, because they knew he was leaving. I think that was a decision. They went in and said, hey, we're going to get you good tape for your next landing spot, which I think is going to be Arizona State, but under Dillingham.
Yeah.
I comment to you the other day. I think he's going to Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I even put it somewhere too. But I mean, you look at it, I mean, it was true. I mean, he had, 10 carries, 81 yards. Really, in my eyes, there was a guy on Facebook that posted and kind of a negative, you know, F him. He was trash. And I'm thinking, I even commented, I'm like, how can you say that? He scored two touchdowns in a bowl game that we barely won. You know, he almost had, if he wouldn't have got injured, you're looking at a back that would have had over 1,000 yards. He was on pace for that, you know. And it just gets me. I think Herb Street called him in one game like the human joystick at one time, because, you know, he could just cut and spin on a dime. It was just crazy. But speaking of, you know, the reason he left, I agree with both of you. It was a business decision in my eyes. But, I mean, he leaves Florida State with 1,241 yards and averaging, I think, 6.6 yards a carry this year. That's pretty good. I mean, that's actually led the ACC. You know, but when you got the Benson, like you said, he was second in the ACC with like 6.4 yards per carry. And the way he ran.
Yeah, and it's sad because you look back and you see where Trayshon fit in the picture, and every year he was the number two guy. Because he was behind Jayshon last year. And it's totally, well, I mean, Jordan Travis too, but we don't count him as a running back stats. So tough decision. But he was definitely somebody we needed to have on our bench.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's weird. I look at the running back position in a different way. Like, I don't always look at, like, so maybe Benson starts or Ward starts. I don't look at it as, you know, Benson's the one, Ward's the two. I look at 1A, 1B. I mean, you got to use running backs in today's age. Switch them out. He's not Derrick Henry. You know, these guys aren't massive guys. That's not a knock. I'm just like, they're just not Derrick Henry. Who is Derrick Henry, right? There's only one Derrick Henry.
Most offensive linemen ain't even the size of Derrick Henry.
Yeah. From a Jags fan that's playing Derrick Henry Saturday to go to the playoffs, there's not many other Derrick Henrys out there. So my point is, just to piggyback that, like, yeah, I wouldn't say he was always behind. I don't look at it as he was behind anybody. He just shared reps, and he really dominated, I think, early in the stretch while Benson had a chance to catch up, to get up to speed with the playbook and all that. And once he got hurt, it does suck, you know, but look, was it Mario Pender in 2014 got hurt? And that's only how he got to see Dalvin Cook. So, I mean, sometimes injuries do expose, you know, the better player at times. You know, you hate it. You hate to see it. But glad that, you know, we had guys waiting to take over that role and step up big time like Benson did.
Yeah. And like, Patrick, like you mentioned, you know, Coach Norvell, if you notice, on certain players, we're all three probably on – I mean, I know we're all on Twitter, so we see it all. When a transfer leaves, especially one that kind of paid his dues, Norvell's kind of quick to, you know, post something about him and tag him in and all that, but some he don't, like, you know, Sam McCall. But, you know, so, I mean, if you was another coach, another, like, we'll just say Arizona State, what does that mean to you, seeing how the other coach responded to him leaving and how good of a player he was?
It's a must take at that point.
Matt, what's your...
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with Patrick. I mean, like, you're getting any school, Power Five schools is going to probably want him. I mean, outside of a handful, but I think any program that needs a running back, he should be high on the list. So,
all right. I mean, whatever running back room he goes to, it don't matter where it's at. I mean, you're looking at an instant upgrade. I mean, because, I mean, unless he goes to Alabama, I mean, but.
Or Georgia, yeah.
I don't see many. Yeah. So.
Even Ohio State. But, even, I mean, think even Ohio State would take him.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you look at the core or the running back room, we're not going to drop off. That's what everybody's like, you know, really focused on. I mean, you got Benson, you got Toa Philly, you've got Penn State transfer, was it Kazai Holmes, you got freshman this year, Rodney Hill. You've got one I'm really big on that's from Panama City, CJ Campbell. Mm-hmm. And then you got signed, I think he was four-star, Samuel Singleton. I mean, you're not going to be missing reps. I mean, we're going to be loaded there. And then next year, I think we got probably another, I think it's another five-star committed to us. I'm pull up the rankings.
Yeah, we have another five-star, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah, it's – I'll pull it up in just a second. But, I mean, looking at the weapons next year, even without Ward – and I mean, let me here. I typed it out exactly. I mean, you've got, like I said, you got, well, of course, you got Jordan Travis, who's just, I mean, in my eyes, when he puts the ball in his arm and he takes off and runs, he's probably the most elusive and probably one of the better runners in the country at making people miss and just breakaway speed. And then when you look at him, you got like, when you got Kazai Holmes, trying to fit, you know, let me see.
Cameron Davis was the 2024 kid.
Yeah, that's him. But, I mean, then you
guys, I got to say real quick.
Go ahead.
I am not the recruit, Nick, in this out of the three of us. I enjoy watching the recruiting, you know, a little bit from afar. I am not going to be able to tell you names in 2024. I know they're like a quarterback. I got a couple other guys. I'm going to lean heavy on you guys for that part.
Yeah, I can do some more research on some of that.
But I enjoy it. I was to get closer, but it's not like my, like, I'm invested in all that, especially with the portal these days. I mean, AKA St. McCall. Like, so I was happy they got him, and he within a season, he's gone. So, like, I just, like, I'll be a little patient, and, you know, just I'll learn some names as they come in. But, right, you know, signing period's not even over yet, so like I'm still on 23. I can't do 24 right now.
Yeah,
I'm trying to hold out for Trey Sanders to come to us after Alabama, but he picked TCU.
I mean, not a bad program to pick
in the playoff. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And next year, Mr. Primetime, you know, want to bring all of his Jackson State boys. They actually open the season against TCU next year, so. He's going to start off with a tough one. But like we were saying, you know, you sprinkle in Jordan Travis, you know, you got Toa Philly, you got all the other running backs. But, I mean, you look at the weapons, you know, the receiving room is slam-packed. I mean, bursting at the seams. You look, who is it? You got Lundy, who, yeah, he's a linebacker, but he's probably one of the best fullbacks we've had in a while. You take in the new tight end transfer, Jeremiah Bell, who's a Swiss Army knife. I mean, he was, I think, the second leading rusher on South Carolina.
Yeah, fill into one.
He played running back.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played running back for them.
And then, I mean, you got Pittman, you got Ja'Kai Douglas, and you got Darian Williams, you know, in like a jet sweep action, you know, Ward wasn't going to get many touches. And when you want to go to the next level, you got to put film up. But kind of out of the running backs, for next year, I mean, we got Benson, Toa Philly, Hill. Which are y'all kind of more keen? Which ones stand out that y'all want to see production out of?
I'm kind of excited about Rodney Hill and CJ Campbell. I mean, we know what Benson and Toa Philly can do, and I think, you know, we can talk about expectations later for next season. But I mean, we're hoping they're going to be up in a lot of these games. So you want to see those guys get touches, those guys improve, and kind of see what the future holds for that position. I mean, are they going to need to do more in the recruiting recruiting cycle in 24 and 25. I think you get a portal guy to replace Tola Philly and Vincent. Because, I mean, I have a sneaking suspicion we're losing both those guys after next season.
Yeah.
Like I said, I want to kind of see what Campbell does. And then Kazai Holmes coming from Penn State, you seem when we get these broken kids come in, they seem to do some good damage in the positive way for us. And I really want to see Tola Philly break it out. He always is right there on the edge. I want to see him finally put it all together for a complete season.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm with you, Matt. I'm high on Rodney Hill and CJ Campbell. Both of them, I mean, whenever they got in the games, they showed a lot of promise. To me, Campbell, to me, kind of, especially spring game and some of the, when he come back off his, I think he had like a broken foot or broken leg or something in the fall and missed majority of the season. But to me, he's like a compact Dalvin Cook almost whenever he needs to get going. He's hard to bring down. But then you look at Hill, who's just speed. And would you rather take if you look at the pros and cons, would you rather have Ward for 1 year or Hill and Campbell for two, possibly three more years, But I'm with you on that. Hill and Campbell are mine. I mean, I've always been high on CJ Campbell, not because he's local right down the road, but because he reminds me of a Dalvin. He does. He's another player that started off as a walk-on, so there's that feel good story there too. But guys, kind of moving on. I mean, Matt, is there anything else anything you want to just round table talk about?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's never too early to do expectations for next year. I mean, as a guy who's at the bowl game and watched that offense and also watched the defense, I mean, we can get into the nuts and bolts. I mean, love to hear y'all's take on what the expectations are. I mean, to me, I'll start it off. I think it's ACC championship or bust. I mean, I think if you, play off whatever, that could be, if you go to the ACC championship and win it, playoffs are the possibility, obviously, if you have the right number of wins. But I think that should be the goal. I mean, winning LSU would be great, but if you drop that game, you still got lots of goals in front of you. So I think that's where the expectation should be, 10 to 11 wins.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. It's ACC championship and a must. It's sad it's not we're in the 12-team playoff next year, because that would be in our conversation.
I wanted it to be this year. I wanted them to be in that play. This team was way too hot. They probably would have won at least one game. So.
But yeah, that's what I'm looking for next year is ACC championship. We got the pieces there. Nice thing is the immortal Sam Hartman is gone from Wake Forest. I could have sworn that kid was there for years, more years than he should have been. So I think that'll help us get over that hurdle, that Wake hurdle that we keep running into.
Let's not talk about Wake.
Go ahead, Patrick.
It's hard to say, at least Dabo is not very active in the transfer portal, so he's not going to pull any wild cards. It's really there. So, I mean, I think we're getting our eyes set on them the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've said it for probably the last couple seasons. Clemson is on that downward trajectory. Now that NIL's big, there ain't going to be many kids – want to go to Clemson because Dabo's even said it. He don't like the NIL. He don't really, like that or the transfer portal. So, that gets shows. I think like me and Patrick spoke today, I like how the schedules and the season start now with no divisions. I just think that it's going to be a Clemson Florida State rematch every year, because I don't see anybody else going to have a better record than them two teams in the ACC. And like I said, ACC championship or bust. Really, I'd even throw in there ACC championship or New Year's Six Bowl or bust, because I think it's possible for that.
Yeah, New Year's Six would be nice, so I can actually enjoy the New Year's game versus just sitting there twiddling my thumbs for the day.
So I got a take on Clemson that's not the normal take. I mean, they do have a stud at quarterback. I know he didn't play well in that bowl game, and their receivers aren't dynamic and they're not going to get anything out of the portal. But when you get a kid like that at quarterback, I mean, they're going to win 8 to 10 games, I think, next year. At least this possibility is. I mean, I could be totally wrong. Like, I see what Jeff's trying to say and whatever I'm trying to say. Like, hey, like, the plane's going inside of the mountain kind of stuff. But, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I'm not sold on Clemson's, you know, about to only win 7 or 8 games every year from here on out. So, we'll see. So,
no, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, you know, offensively, I think Clemson will be fine. Because what was his name, Kubiak or whatever,
Klubnik.
The quarterback there, Klubnik, whatever. Yeah, he can play. I mean, he's a baller. My big thing on them is their defense. You're losing Ryan Breezy to the pros. I'm trying to think of the other outside linebacker. You're losing a chunk of that, and there's not much really coming back in for them. So even on the recruiting aspect, that's where I'm worried about it because. We kind of seen a drop off this year with Venables not there, with the way that their defense ran and the way their defense was. And it kind of, you know, that's why I say, you know, I think they're on that downward trajectory because defense wins championships. We've seen that. I mean, in 13, we had number one ranked defense in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then Charles Kelly took it and ran that right into the side of a wall. But which I'm not a big fan of that dude. I don't think any first state fan is really. But
isn't Deion Sanders hiring him at Colorado?
Yes.
I see this.
Yep.
I saw some people talking about higher up.
When they were excited about it, I'm like, are we talking about the same Charles Kelly?
I had the same reaction Patrick had. I was like, okay, Deion, good luck with that. I mean, I'm sure. Charles Kelly knows the X's and O's, but whatever he was teaching did not get across to those players. And there was part of it was, you know, a lot of guys were headed out and all that. But they still had Jalen Ramsey on that team who had one more year and he wanted to play. And it just felt like he was the only guy who cared and or understood what was going on. Other guys felt lost. Well, I mean, we don't know, recant 2014. But it's just funny when, like, the national media was praising the Charles Kelly hire. And I was like, we'll see.
Yeah, I just pulled the Clemson. Which, I mean, I'm here. And they're out of conference is pretty set for them. Charleston, Southern, Florida Atlantic, Notre Dame, and then obviously their foes from Columbia. ACC matchups are pretty light for them. So it should set up for a pretty good season for them to put us in a good spot to have a nice top 10 matchup repeat.
Yeah. I mean, which, speaking of a top 10 matchup, I mean, if things go the way it is, FSU's looking at a top 10 possible matchup to start the season. Because, I mean, LSU's on fire. Granted, they're losing some. So, I mean, kind of fast forward a little bit. I mean, that's really the prime time game. That's going to be the premier game to see what we could do. Because in my eyes, I told everybody, you know, if anybody watched this past year's LSU game, we should have beat LSU in that game by at least 2 touchdowns. We shot ourselves in the foot. And then, you know, you look at the 3 losses, every one of them, and I've mentioned it on other shows and stuff like that. If it wasn't for stupid penalties, I mean, we could have seen an 11 season this year.
It did hurt on that.
What you think, Matt?
3-wing stroke was when we lost Lovett through that time. I mean, Clemson just beat us alive going through the middle.
Yeah. I agree with Jeff. Like the LSU probably should have been, obviously, I mean, the fumble and all that stuff. Probably should have been, you know, not a one. Shouldn't take Shaheem Brown blocking the PAT for the game. You know, but I do think that's a question mark. You know, how Norvell's coaching staff handles in the game situations. I mean, like, obviously for Louisville, it worked out. You know, but NC State wasn't great. It's one of those question marks that he's a young coach. He's gonna make mistakes. You know, will those mistakes come back and bite him in 2023? You know, is he gonna be in close games like the LSU game and make poor decisions that kind of cost him a championship? It's gonna be interesting to watch. I mean, I think that ultimately is what hurt us in the LSU game, was is they went into that a different kind of style of offense and defense that they weren't playing to the first quarters, and they let LSU back in.
Yeah. And that, I mean, you know, we was talking about, you know, our goals and all that. Really, I mean, I want to see better defensive play next year. I mean, our defensive front was good, but our secondary, and we're looking for a new DB coach, but it's like we couldn't play zone defense to save our lives this year. I mean, just too many busted coverages, too many, you know, easy plays. And really that's what got LSU back into it, was they would sit down in that zone and then Daniels would just pick us apart and then a couple runs. But I want to see a better defense. Our offense is going to be great next year in my eyes, but I want to see a better defensive, performance next year.
Yeah, I know Jeff and I, we talked about it earlier, how we had the kid from Florida running wide open all over us. That was terrible to see. I mean, granted, he is a 4-4 kid, but still shouldn't have been running that wide open all night long. It was terrible because the Florida fans behind me kept rubbing it in.
I had a kid yelling at me behind my head the whole time. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, like, you've gotten upgraded with Cypress. You've got a new DB coach coming in. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, was it Woodson and Fuller not communicating very well and not teaching stuff correctly? Or is it really the defense they can't figure out? Like, I mean, the players can't figure out Fuller's defense and he can't teach them. So we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, Norvell's addressing the problems. He's trying to fix it. So hopefully in 23, it's not every game that doesn't be a shootout. But again, they played well against poor offenses down the stretch. You got to think next year against any kind of poor offense, they'll dominate. But any kind of with a pulse like Clemson or any kind of big game, it's going to be hold your breath. It's going to be take the over. How about that? Take the over. So,
oh yeah, that's true. And really, I mean, if you look at our schedule for next year, I mean, I don't like it because our home slate is really weak. I mean, I like it for the fans. We're going to be able to see kind of blowouts nearly every home game, but it's kind of our home slate's kind of weak. But we do got, let's see, we got Pitt, which is not good. I mean, they've lost quite a bit. We got Virginia Tech, who, SW. I mean, yeah. I mean, Duke might be a question mark. I mean, they've done a decent season this year.
Yeah, I think they lose a lot of experience, though. I think they do lose a decent amount of guys who have experience. So, but you're not wrong. They do could continue be playing well. It's not going to be a cupcake like they usually are.
No. I mean, but if you look at it, I mean, LSU and Clemson and I don't even want to say Florida. That's really the only two games next year that are question marks to me. The rest, I mean, we got Southern Miss, North Alabama, Florida, Boston College, Clemson. Now the dates ain't been brought yet, but we know Florida is always closing us out. Syracuse, who I think they're losing quite a bit. Wake, you know, and then like I mentioned, Duke, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. I see two question mark games next year. If this team plays at the performance and the at what we know they can play like. If they continue playing like they did the last stretch of this season, I mean, two question marks, which would be LSU and Clemson.
Hinge a little bit on versus return.
Yeah, I didn't talk about that yet. But I'll quickly just say this. They've got to be Wake Forest next year, man. I can't stand Florida State losing Wake Forest. Always lose Wake Forest. Always. Always. Feels like if we get snake bit, it's Wake Forest. So I had to get that out. It's so frustrating. I mean, I was screaming at my TV. It's one game I didn't go to. Screaming at my TV. I was in Houston for a wedding. Just so mad. I just can't stand Wake Forest.
Yeah. Back in the early 2000s, when I covered Florida State for a local newspaper, I was actually standing on the sideline taking pictures at the – I stood there the whole time. I think it was the 35, the year that Wake Forest beat Florida State for homecoming. And you talking about some and like it is, it's like it's we could have a national championship run and we're always it's like we always stub our toe against Wake or NC State.
I can't stand any of those teams. Can't stand them
either.
At least we don't have NC State next year.
Yeah. But speaking of some stuff, there's been a bunch of there's just been a bunch of talk about Mike Norvell. I'm just gonna ask y'all. Does he, in y'all's eyes, deserve a contract extension?
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
I look at the aspect. He took pay cuts for us. You know, I think he's still in his pay cut year right now for this upcoming year. It's you know, he came forward and did what he did. And it gets him off that allegedly hot seat that he was on and, you know, shows that, hey, we're committed to Mike Norvell. So that's one less thing that it can negative recruit against us for. And I think that goes into how we're talking about the DB coach. Now we're in a position where we could let the coach go per se. You know, that's my assumption. Cause now we know, hey, we're producing and there's more resumes on the desks. So I think he's deserving. I'm not going to say a 10-year extension by any means, but let's give him a few more years.
Yeah. I think in 4 to 5 year extension, I put it at, you know, I think Florida State would probably want 7.5. They're probably going to do 8.5. I think it goes along with you're putting all the chips on the table. 2023 is the year that's going to not make or break him, but like all these guys are coming back. You know, it's going to be a top 10 team more than likely. And so you got to show that you're invested into this program as an administration. The administration's got to show we're here not to mess around. We're trying to win championships. So we're going to pay our coach as such. So it could be closer to 8.5, I think. It all depends on, you know, what the salary stuff is for his assistants. Do you want more polos? Do you want more, you know, more money for your offensive or defensive coordinators, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll just see how that negotiation goes. But Jimmy Sexton's not going to probably settle for anything under 8.
Yeah. I agree. And honestly, with the way things are, I mean, if he keeps going the way it's going, I mean, I agree. You know, 4, possibly 5, 7.5, 8. Because, I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm just going to talk straight. And I mentioned it to Patrick earlier. Kids are going to want, I mean, he's singing kids' mom's happy birthday, you know, on Twitter. You know, he's picking them up at the hotels, blaring music, you know. Eventually that's going to take off because kids are going to want to come play for him. That's going to bring in the better talent. It's going to bring in better wins. So, I mean, give him the extension. I mean, not break the bank on him, but let him keep building what we're building here. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you look at what this team was in 17, then Willie Taggart took it over, and then we all know that. I mean, it was a dumpster fire. No real head coach or Power 5 coach wanted to touch us in 19. And like I told Patrick, I was reading a report. When they fired Willie, they actually called Brett Venables for an interview, and he declined it. I mean, you're looking at that, and they brought in Norvell, and I mean, COVID year, hard. I mean, we didn't even know if he was going to have a season, couldn't really recruit to fixing the roster with transfers. I mean, and done a dang good job at it. To now, I mean, now we're seeing the fruits of that labor and that hard times. I mean, you look at what he could do if he has actually like 4 or 5 more years to actually keep putting them bricks in place to build what he's wanting to build in Tallahassee.
And we'll help with that. That money is we stop paying Willie next year.
Yeah.
I mean, considering we paid Willie more than we paid Norvell this year, that's still a problem. So I think once we get that fixed up, and I know Jeff and I, we talked about it and we're seeing the new standalone stadium. The renovations of softball too. I think there's an overall commitment. We went out and got Link too. So I think it's there. I'd be intrigued to see what we get. And like I said, I think one of the key elements is the coaches. This isn't coach pool. You know, that's where Dabo built his off of his, all his assistant coaches. He was paying them more than head coaches were making. So I think that's where we got to really focus that energy and effort to make that name again. You know, as they say, walk in with the logo on the chest, and that recruits for you.
So I mean, let's just say next year we fall short, like not fall short of our expectations, but fall short of, say, we get to the ACC championship game, but we fall short there. And it's the defensive side that we all, you know, like I said, defense wins championships. Do you think Norvell after next year, we know what Fuller's brought to the table. Fuller, in my eyes, I ain't gonna bite my tongue on it and try to be positive. I don't like him as a defensive coordinator. I like to see more schemes and stuff like that. And it's just like he's just bury your head down and he shows his hand too much. But say we fall short next year, have a little bit of money because we're not paying Willie. Do you think Norvell makes the next step and goes after a big-time defensive coordinator that's out there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll start. I don't think so. I mean, Fuller's been his guy through and through for the time as Memphis and stuff like that. I mean, I have a sneaking suspicion that he's not going to want to get rid of Fuller for next year if they struggle on defense, like, you know, kind of like they did against good offenses this year. And that's going to probably make or break his tenure here. I think if he sticks with Fuller long-term past a year or two from now, and they can't get over the hump of 9-10 wins and winning any championships, and it's going to be it for him. And that's his decision. We'll have to see. I mean, obviously he recognized a weakness this year in Woodson, and you could say Arkansas hired him, but I mean, I like to think that that was a little help Mike Norvell help him out the door, you know? So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, he obviously addressed the problem this year. So maybe if he feels like that, you know, again, they struggle again in the secondary next year, he might look at Fuller and say, have a good day. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I mean, you know, we know Odell's getting up there. How many more years does he have left in the tank that he wants to keep going? And as we've seen it, I'll call it as a demise as Jimbo's, is he wouldn't get rid of his friends. And I think that led to some of our downward outside of the other extracurricular activities. But it's something we got to, you know, be aware of. If that isn't, that's, I don't want to get another lost 2 decades. I hold steady with that friendship, and I think it's there because I don't think Fuller was our first choice. If I remember correctly, I think he was probably like third or fourth. We were striking out when Norvell came over.
But you also couldn't really hire anybody back then. Like, it's just you were in a terrible spot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. I mean, nobody wanted to coach here. I mean, no. I mean, It was just like you said, man, it was a horrible spot. I wanted to be here. No, even the players didn't want to be here. But it's been turned around. But Matt, I mean, you mentioned to me off camera before. Are you still doing your other podcast?
I'm not. You know, I still keep with the Jags pretty consistently, but I am not doing the other podcast currently. I might do. I mean, they're doing really well right now. Obviously, they have a huge game coming up Saturday. So I might do one like just for fun before and after. You know, it was hard. I didn't have any co-hosts and I couldn't get anyone to do it with me. It became more of a chore than fun. I started off, it was a lot of fun, and it became more of a chore. So I'm looking to pick it back up maybe when the season's over and try it again. So
yeah,
I enjoyed the blogging a lot. The blogging was fun. Again, it was just being a one man show and trying to have a job and social life. Go to the gym, you know, it was trying to have two jobs at once and it just became too much. So,
yeah, that's what I was telling Patrick. You know, I had my other podcast for a little bit and I brought two co-hosts in and I even had Jesse from Plant the Spear. I don't know if y'all listened to him on a couple of times. Me and him both agree. Yeah, he's a great guy, very good guy. He dives in when he wants to dive into writing something or doing stats. He's one of the best ones out there. I mean, he'll give you the stats left and right. But me and him both agreed, you know, and Matt, you can probably agree, it's easier to talk to somebody like we're doing right now on the cameras than it is to sit in front of a wall and talk to yourself.
So, it was tough. I would just stare at the seat I'm at now. I would just stare at the white wall talking to myself. And a half hour podcast would take me an hour and a half, 2 hours to create and edit. Cause it just was terrible. It was bad. Wouldn't mind getting back into it. Yeah. We'll see. Down the road. I love this opportunity though, with you, Jeff, and getting back into it and see what I can do.
Yeah. So, I mean, guys, I mean, Patrick, is there any final thoughts before we sign off for the evening that you want to kind of talk about?
No, I mean, the only thing is we got still at the transfers. We got that. I call it the South Carolina pipeline. you know, we'll see how much that continues, even maybe through the coaching tree. I think the program's headed in the right direction again. And it's good to see, you know, unfortunately, like you said, our home slate next season for games is kind of less than stellar. But I think that's going to change here soon. We definitely have to get our X's and O's together. Our Alabama and Georgia home and home start right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I don't see that either one of those programs falling off. So we need to make sure that we're doing it. I know that there's all the NIL organizations. So the Noles out there through the boosters, Alumni Association, get involved. I think that's going to be our key to our success and retaining these players that are on that bubble. You know, hey, I'm going to go try the draft thing because I want to get a little bit of money, but we can pay you more to stay at school. I mean, that's what it's good for them now. It's going to make better programs, especially the ones that are struggling, especially with depth purposes now, which I think we're doing a good job on addressing. So we'll see what those next few transfers.
The battles ends stepped in quite nice in player retention. I mean, I think now with some NIL money, I think some NIL packages my sources have been telling me are just about, if not better than some of your like third, fourth round draft picks paydays right now.
Wow.
So, yeah. Like,
can we talk about NIL real quick? Like not NIL as a whole, but the people helping Florida State out. So it was like Rising Spirits, is it just done? I mean, how does this, I mean, I know it's not done, but like, are they just more focused on somewhere else? Like, I'm really, Battle In has obviously taken over with authority from a Florida State fans' perspective. But like,
well, I mean,
where's Rising Spear fit in all this?
Rising Spear, I don't know. I honestly don't know. They were like the main one, and then you had because Rising Spear absorbed the what was it, Warpath 850 or something like that. That
I can't keep up. There was like four at one point. I was like, what's going on? Why don't it all just be one?
Then
I don't know.
Yeah. And then you had the one I know James Coleman helps with, Micanopy 18 whatever. I don't know about Rising Spear. I think they're a different, I know from everything I've read, I know that the Battle's End is right now focused on retention of the football and not really focused on the other sports, so to say, where I think Rising Spirit kind of hits the rest of the sports, so to say, right now.
All right. I guess, from a fan's perspective and just a fan, like not, it just would make sense if Rising Spirit and Battle would just work together and just be one entity. Right. I mean, back from what I've heard, I guess, you know, a friend on Twitter, Ingram Smith, big Forest State guy, everyone probably knows who that guy is, says, you know, on his podcast that they wanted to go a different way than Rising Spears. So that's kind of what influenced them to do it. So what could that have been? I have no idea. It's something I'd love to learn more about one day, figure out why some succeed and some don't. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I would love to, which I'd probably reach out to somebody at Rising Spear or Battle End, see if they want to come on and we could ask them that, because I mean, it's just crazy. I'm with you, Matt. You would think they would all join together, you know, and work all together instead of, you know, it's like Micanopy 1850, whatever, James Coleman's is focused thing, right? Another, and then you got battles in on player retention and stuff like that, whenever you can put it all under the same umbrella and cover more athletes, really, you know, because I mean, you look at the softball team. I mean, I think Michaela Edenfield and, you know, Kat Sandercock, I think they would love to have a big NIL deal, you know,
Of course,
them people deserve it, my eyes. You know, I mean, you take baseball last year with Parker Messick. I mean, how much of that a big NIL deal would have probably influenced him not to go into the draft?
I don't think they would have got enough. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they could have paid that guy enough. I think he was gone.
Parker was a beast. I loved watching him. And
Me
and him
I hate that he was on that Florida State baseball team. I hated that. I was a big Florida State baseball guy. Absolutely hated that. Like, it hurt to watch. Like, you're on this team. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm with you. I think they should all work together because something's got to give with the basketball team. We got to get some NIL money going that way to help Coach Hamilton. I mean, my Lord.
They play Saturday at 1:00. I think is it. I don't know who it is. I was looking for. Do you guys think they're going to win? They're probably going to lose, right? I mean,
I don't know. It's not looking good. I'll look it up real quick and tell you they play. They play Georgia Tech.
Okay, And Miller's
Florida State by ESPN's projection, which always go by it. Florida State has a 60% chance to win that basketball game. And that's with the Noles sitting at 4-11 on the year.
Yeah, they could win that game. And they play hard now. Like earlier, like the first 5 or 6 games, I really got into basketball in 2019 for Florida State. And those first five games, were almost unwatchable. It was an atrocious performance. I mean, it sounds rough for college kids, but I'm going to say it. It was bad. It was I had to turn it off. It's almost like 2024 state football. It was painful to watch.
Yeah. And then, I mean, like I said, we got Georgia Tech Saturday. We turn around Wednesday, play Wake Forest, I think that's the game Bob Miller comes back in also.
That'd be so that huge.
I ain't saying what ESPN is saying on this show.
Yeah.
But I mean, something's gotta give. I mean, which I kind of miss. I hate it that COVID hit, you know, like it did. You look at that 2020 team with Trent Forrest and all them, and Trent Forrest went to high school right 10 miles from where I live. Man. And I watched him in high school and all that. And stuff like, and it's like that team right there was robbed.
Oh my God.
Of so much.
I get mad every NCAA tournament season since then. Like when the tournament starts, I'm like, it makes me so mad. I watch teams play like that they could have blown that team out. It just, but you know, such is life, I guess. You hate it for him. That was his Final Four team. He put it all together. And it just, he got screwed.
Yep. And he really ain't been able to catch his footing since, really. And since then.
Was it the year after they did? They went to 3 straight Sweet 16. I mean, that, for Florida State, in the day and age where, you know, football's king, especially for Florida State, and the money is different in other schools. But 3 straight Sweet 16s is pretty impressive, in my personal opinion. That's kind of where my expectations always are with Florida State basketball. Get a tournament, Sweet 16, and after that, it's gravy.
Yeah, I was going to jokingly kick up the fire ham, but I know I would have gotten absolutely slaughtered. It was just going to be more of a fun, just that, you know, because anytime anything would go wrong, it was fire whoever. You know, it was more of a, hey, I know we're injury screwed for a while there. And then with Baba, you know, and like I said, we're not even going to touch that mess of that. But, you know, that year, that was the year I joke. I was like, I was ready. And I think it's hard to recover. And I think with if the NILs combine, I think that would be the way to focus to help retain those basketball players. It's a small, much smaller pool to build from.
I mean, I will say that some positive for basketball real quick. I mean, outside of Bobby Miller coming back, they have some freshmen they're playing that I think in 2 years could be decent. Now, is Hamstring still going to be here? I don't know. But I mean, I think there's potential in the future. I think that this year you're just going to have to grind your teeth and watch and just suck it up. But I mean, I think they can get a win Saturday. So get a win Saturday and go from there.
Well, speaking of Ham, basketball game on this year.
Yeah. Give him a chance.
I have, unfortunately. I have quite a bit. But I mean, you look, speaking of Ham, he's 74 years old right now. Mm-hmm. How many more
years? Look 65. You, I mean,
yeah, look 65. Probably acts like he's 25 at times. But, you know, if you had to, we're just going to play just a little, throw this out there in the universe, see what y'all think. If you had to pick a replacement for him, say Ham hung it up, hung the whistle up after this year, who would you bring in?
Gates out of that's his name, right? Dennis Gates out of Missouri, the former Florida State assistant. His name?
I think that's his name.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can get him that anymore. He was at Colorado State ahead before I think. I can't remember. I probably could have that wrong, but I appreciate it's Dennis Gates in Missouri. I mean, that they just beat Kentucky. I if you're Florida State, you throw the bank at him. You do whatever you can to get him to come back. He's a Ham guy through and through. He was part of that rise, you know, the new blood stuff. He was part of that. He helped them. He helped do all of that. And I think it's kind of not like about it. It's not like by about it. I don't want to put that, but it's you got to wonder, did Ham say 1 to 2 years too long and Gates went and found another job somewhere else? Now you can't go get him because it's SEC and in Missouri. Like, oh, well, that's success in something. Which pay this. Keep paying this guy. So I think you got to go after Dennis Gates, but My college basketball up and coming college coach knowledge is not there. That's my one and only option. Go get that guy. That's my only choice. So
I'll say I'm guilty.
What about
of who to get? I mean, I'm so far removed of who's coaching. So you say, hey, this is a good name.
I just asked to see if y'all threw out that one name that everybody I see on Twitter throws out. And I love him to death, and I would love him if he was on the side of the, you know, sideline of the court, and that's Charlie Ward, you know.
Oh.
But, you know, everybody I see is like, oh, we need Charlie, and I love Charlie to death, and I think he's a great coach, but I agree with you. You know, Dennis Gates would be the one I threw the bank at.
Yeah, I don't know if you could hire Charlie, man. I think it's best to leave Charlie in his little bubble, you know, his Heisman national title. Great at basketball bubble, and just keep him there. You don't want to. What I would hate if for him to come to Florida State as a head coach, all his excitement, everyone's invested, yada yada yada, and then to put up a terrible season and never go to tournament, you have to fire him. I mean, look, if that's the route they go, I'll support it, but I would hate to see that happen to Charlie.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of hiring alumni.
Patrick,
it's tough. It puts him in the first spot.
I mean, Patrick, you mentioned something about starting the Fire Ham thing. I mean, the guy that started the Fire Norvell Twitter space, I think it was.
Oh, screw I mean, that he guy. Made
like,
sorry, that was rude.
Well, he said he'd done it as a joke.
It was not.
No,
a
I mean,
joke.
I agree, but
it was not a joke. It was.
Yeah, I know it was a joke. Now he's backtracking on it.
Oh well, I unfollowed that guy on purpose. I unfollowed that dude on purpose. I got tired of his takes, and said, "You're that part of that fan base I don't want to associate with." Like, so.
I don't even know who he was. I never followed him. I just seen it on Twitter one time. Somebody wrote an article about him, and there was an interview, and he was like, "Oh, it was just a joke. I was just BSing everybody. I really didn't want him to be fired."
No, there was a lot of fan base that day that wanted him fired.
Oh, they still want him fired.
It's a pretty small crowd. After NC State, it got louder, yeah. And then it got quieter, and we'll see if it gets louder again. So.
Well, I mean, we're all right. I mean,
yeah, I got one more
on social media.
I got one more thing, real quick.
Go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead. Does Jimbo Fisher let Bobby Petrino actually call plays?
Ooh. You know, I'm going to say this, you know, Patrick, go ahead and answer that because, yeah.
I don't think Jimbo had a choice in that matter. I think he was told this is what's going to happen because they had so much invested. I did see the Twitter out there of, you know, is Petrino going to get a Power 5 job or is Jimbo getting fired first? Which one's going to happen? I did see that.
Jimbo getting fired.
Yeah, Jimbo getting fired.
Yeah.
But him actually calling it.
I think it lasts one question. Game. I think it lasts one
game. He's a smart coach. Yeah. I'll give him that.
The second Petrino screws something up, I think Jimbo throws a fit, throws his sheets everywhere, and just takes the calling back. But that's my take.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I know we've all seen it. We've been Florida State fans for years. You know, we didn't just Florida State fans just because our girlfriends took us to games and stuff like that, like some other people I know. But we've all seen Jimbo on the sidelines with like the encyclopedia, you know, to somebody put something on Twitter. I wish I'd have saved it, but it had that and they digitally imposed Waffle House menus on the back of the papers and it said Jimbo getting ready for his next job. But no, I don't think Jimbo ever give up, you know, play calling duties. I just don't.
No.
So, I mean, that's just, I think, you know, I think Petrino was just a hire that is kind of like a scapegoat hire. You know, if things go bad, oh, well, I tried with him, you know. But, you know, one of my buddies, Kenneth True, who runs Nation's Elite Recruiting, me and him both agree, you know, Jimbo's trying to get fired. He wants that big buyout just to retire and go off into the sunset the way he's acting.
I mean, he holds all the cards.
27. Yeah. I mean, I think last time I seen they got 27 transfers going out and not many coming in. Coaches leaving left and right. I mean, something's not going on over there. But no, I don't think he gives up the play calling duties.
It'll be interesting to watch for those that watch it, those A&Ms. That's one of the stadiums I will go visit at some point, but not while Jimbo's there.
Yeah, which I had a friend of mine that I work with. He went. He said it's you just drive down a little road and all that. You don't know where you're at, and he's at College Station. He's like some big old stadium out in the middle of nowhere. But my thing is, Jimbo's hired. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was going to say, we talk about the stadiums out of nowhere, you know, Penn State, Happy Valley. It's on top of a hill, so it's not really in a valley. Same thing.
Which, I mean, my thing is, though, do y'all think, and then we'll end it off right after this, do y'all think Jimbo's trying to pull a Nick Saban and pull in as many former head coaches as he can to like help them out or as scapegoats? Because he's had like Petrino, Durkin, was that Dazio or something?
Dazio, yeah.
He was Boston College. Yeah, he hired him. You know, he's got like four former head coaches on staff now. So, I mean, that's it. You know, I think he's trying to pull a Saban where he's hiring all these former coaches, hoping that it brings success or.
I think he's trying to get whoever he can. I think it's a well known in the industry that he's not fun to work for, and so he's just trying to hire anybody who will work with him. And since money doesn't matter to A&M, they're just gonna say, hey, here's a boatload of money to the offensive coordinator, and you can ride out in a year. I mean, so I think that's kind of the situation's at. He's trying to hire people who he's down to work with, which is not very many people.
Yeah,
that's true.
It goes back to them stealing TJ rushing from us. You know, we might even have that defensive coordinator talk right now. But I think they're just throwing money at the problem. And it worked for Saban at some point, bringing all these other people in. But that wasn't how Saban built his program. And I think Jimbo's taking the wrong route on that. But A&M got A&M money. So keep going to the ATM.
Well, guys, we're going to close the show off call it a wrap. Enjoy the rest of our night. Guys, if y'all are watching, you follow us on social media. I'll post a link with that, with all of our social medias in it in the next coming days. Guys, if you're listening on a podcast, you know, like, subscribe, 5-star rating if it's an Apple. I think I don't really use Apple Music, so I don't know how that one works. But, guys, I mean, for all of us here, Matt, Patrick, myself, hope y'all have a great weekend. And, guys, go Noles.
Go Noles. Georgia 41, TCU 24.
25, 20, 15, 10, 5.